This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Neither rain, nor sleet, nor snow is going to stop. It's always game day in Buffalo. I can't trademark that. That's like the post office, but it is kind of wet rain. It's going to be snowing out. Got another winter storm coming here, a little lake effect. And it doesn't matter that Matt is actually covering the Sabres amidst their, you know, 6-7 game losing streak. I'm down here at One Bills Drive. We're here to give you an always game day in Buffalo. We do it no matter how we can get it to everybody, Matt.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there today. I had to make a quick adjustment. One thing that nobody tells you is that babies get sick and kids get sick a lot. So our daughter has been sick for the last several days.
I'm sorry.
So I needed to stay home with our daughter, do the trade-off with my wife. Conveniently, the Sabres play tonight, so I was able to, you know, switch course quickly. I'll cover the Sabres game, but I'm usually down there on Wednesdays and Thursdays, so you are going to have to fill me in on everything I missed from this riveting Wednesday press conference.
To be quite honest, it was a little more riveting than normal, and really more because of the tone of Sean McDermott. I thought myself, and I share this opinion with a lot of people in the media room, that he was a little more edgy today than normal. I would think that would be the word I would describe him, edgy. And we've seen Sean, you know, a little prickly in the past for many different reasons, you know, and everybody's human beings and has their own, you know, certain reasons and circumstances. But I felt this one was directly correlated to probably, you know, Sunday, and for good reason, obviously, and losing 44-42. But, you know, Sean has taken a lot of heat over the last 48 hours for some decision making. And also his team did not perform well, especially on his side of the ball. He's a defensive coach, right? But Matt, I did think that we'll get to the injury reports and that in a little while. I'm just talking about the tone of today meeting with the media and how he answered some questions. And look, I think he actually gave really good answers. Maybe that's what happens when you're a little more edgy, but you could tell there was a bit of a different edge to him today than normal.
Edgy towards the people asking the questions and reporters because of the criticism, or edgy towards the team knowing that they did not play well enough, or a combination of both?
I think combination of both. I would say more towards the team, but there were a couple of answers towards reporters that I don't think he was edgy at them, or just but he took the question and kind of you know what I mean? It was a little bit it's a little tough to decipher there and maybe say it the right way or wrong way, how I want to describe it, right? I don't think he was mad at anybody in the media room. I guess that's the way I would say it. But I do think that a question might have come up and he's like, well, you know, maybe give a less generic answer than normal, a little more specific, which is good, but that specificity comes out a little more edgy.
Yeah, and I think that he's always been a more revealing and interesting person to listen to following losses than following wins.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe that's just life in the NFL for the Bills and for Bills fans. We haven't dealt with that a ton over the years. It's usually a good thing, right? But this is the first time they've lost since what? Was it like October 5th or something when they lost to the Texans? So we haven't had spicy Sean in a little while. And also, he's a human. He took a lot of criticism this week, and rightfully so. I mean, you turn on the national sports shows on Monday morning, morning, on Tuesday morning, they're talking about how the Bills coaching staff cost them a chance at winning the game. And they are right. It's not the only reason they lost the game, but it was a chance at winning the game, and that got thrown out the window. So all that they can do now, learn from it, make sure it doesn't happen again, and you've got a really tough test to try and bounce back with against the Lions this week.
And of course, not a team that you want to necessarily have that test against, although you could say it is just the right thing for us, because now we have to back it up and show that that's not who we were against arguably the best team in the National Football League, the Detroit Lions. So part of that was Sean basically mentioning, like, you know, you have to have heart and go out there and need to, you know, show what you're made of. And I feel that through his answers, this is me, not him, me, my interpretation, through his answers, I feel that, you know, he's saying that he didn't think his team, and I will say he did say Sunday, there wasn't enough urgency. And he kind of doubled down on that today. And he said, who knows, right? Maybe it's because of winning the division and all that goes along with that. And then, you know, obviously you fly, you know, several thousand miles out to the West Coast and didn't have that urgency. So I just felt that he challenged his players to have a little bit more of that, a little bit more nastiness maybe, and to come at it on the line of scrimmage and be tougher and, you know, want to kind of go that route a little bit today when he talked with us.
What did I say? Now, we've talked a lot. We talk all the time because obviously we see each other so much. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we talk about. But do you remember what I said last week before they played the Rams about this next 2-week stretch? Do you remember what I told you?
I don't.
That I thought they were going to lose the Rams and beat the Lions. And I still feel that way because
should we just, whatever you say now is going to come true because I'm like Hyde. So no. Maybe that's just what it is.
No, it's okay.
I mean, you're like Matt Stradamus now,
right? I never thought, I saw a lot of people after the Rams game say, oh, this is a typical trap game. The Bills weren't up for it. I never really felt that way. I don't think that Sean really like allows them to get into that mindset. But I will say that Rams were a tricky matchup for the Bills from a lot of the things that they do well. And another comment that I've seen a lot over the last 48 hours is, if that's what the Rams offense did to you, what are the Lions going to do?
Sure.
And my counterpoint to that is it can't be any worse. It can't. They scored basically every time that they were on the field. And the Rams play a very different style than the Lions do. The Lions are going to run the ball at you down your throat with Montgomery and Gibbs. And usually if you're doing that, you know, you're sustaining a lot of time of possession. You probably got long drives. And maybe the score doesn't get up as high as it did against the Rams. I just think that from a matchup standpoint, the Rams are a really tough matchup. And this is not to like absolve the Bills of not playing a good game. I think they lost because they did not play their best. But the Rams deserve credit, too. They were spectacular offensively against the Bills the other day. Like, unbelievably good. That was easily the best quarterback performance we've seen against the Bills this year.
Yeah, how did Sean put it in one of his answers today? He kind of said something along the lines of course, it's a lot of what they're doing, but it's what we were or weren't doing as well, right? So you also kind of gave them some of those plays you're talking about. I'll also say, hey, credit where credit's due. They also made some fantastic plays. They're like, oh my God, how did Nacua catch that, right? Where you think you have him on third down. And maybe that changes the whole complexion of a game, that huge catch he has on the sideline. But look, the Bills made some of those. Josh Allen obviously was incredible with his 6-touchdown performance. All right, as they get ready for the Detroit Lions this week, Sunday, 4:25 p.m., we have an injury update from Sean McDermott. Some pretty interesting news on the injury front. We'll get to the bigger picture stuff, but in the meantime, in the short term, Rasul Douglas will not practice on Wednesday. It's a walkthrough. As I stand here now, about to go out and talk to players, but they're doing their walkthrough now as I talk with you on this with Matt. Rasul Douglas not participating today with a knee injury. Taylor Rapp not participating with a neck injury. Now, those two players collided on the Cooper Kupp touchdown pass that we saw on Sunday. Rapp had had his shoulder looked at, but he went back in the game and he stayed in there. Douglas left with a back injury, went back in the game, came out again after one series with the knee. He didn't finish the game. He never went to the locker room, but now he's not practicing. So obviously something to monitor. Casey Tuhill, he has ribs. He's limited today. But on the good news for this week right now, Keon Coleman, a full participant, and Dalton Kincaid, a full participant as well. Although he didn't mention him by name, he did say he didn't mention him in that other bucket, so we're going to assume he's a full.
Yeah, I think that there's some good news there. There's some bad news there. I think the way the offense has performed without Kincaid and with Coleman, you know, having those guys back is a nice boost, but not like a massive game changer to me. But I do think that the potential injuries to Douglas and Rapp would be really significant if both of those guys aren't able to play this game. Realistically, probably one of them plays. It seems more like Rapp would be the better case just because he finished the last game. But, you know, the Lions, I know I just talked about their rushing attack. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown and you got Jameson Williams. Those are two. And Patrick, who's been great since they got him from Denver. Like, those are very formidable wide receivers that they've got there. So, yeah, I mean, you want to be as healthy defensively as humanly possible. But it does feel like off of Sean's update, they avoided, you know, like worst case scenarios, it sounds like, with guys like Rasul Douglas and with Taylor Rapp and Casey Tuhill. And also, you know, I'm sure you were going to get to this, but the IR returns is also, you know, the windows for Dwayne Smoot specifically. That's a really promising sign because I thought that guy was playing pretty good football when he got hurt.
So here's the deal on that. Dwan Smoot and Baylen Spector both practicing today. Their injury, their windows open 21 days to activate them to the active roster. I believe that's six, maybe seven, if I have to go back and think about how many IR to designations they've used this year, which only leaves them one or two more, maybe. I think it's six total. They only have two more they can use before the end of the year, but they don't seem like they're in a situation where they have to use one right now. Smoot coming back would be a huge boost to this team. We'll see if it happens this week or sometime in the next few weeks. He's a guy that can really move inside, outside, obviously. So we'll see where that goes. Last week, the return of Dwayne Carter, Jordan Phillips became a healthy scratch. He was an inactive guy last week. And then Baylen Spector's possible return, he's going to have his window open. What does that mean for the linebacking group? We already saw the release of Nicholas Morrow, who plays the weak side. Spector is obviously a middle linebacker, and the number two guy there right now is Joe Andreessen. So, yeah, the Bills getting healthier in the big picture front, and if they can get Keon Coleman back this week, obviously that would be a big boost. They can get him and Dalton Kincaid. This is a team, Matt, that has scored 30 points in seven straight games, and pretty much for the majority of those games, 4 or 5 weeks basically, have not had Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I thought they missed Kincaid a bit in the Rams game until they really started to click in the second half. It felt like there were a couple opportunities in the middle of the field where Kincaid would have kind of been a nice way of hitting the Rams defense, not just Khalil Shakir. It felt like a lot of that for the last several weeks has been if Shakir gets open in the middle of the field, they get the ball to him. But if he doesn't, then Josh kind of has to scramble and make things happen. So I think Kincaid will bring them a nice boost. I think off the top of my head, Dawson had one catch for 5 yards in this game. So the tight end position, he had a couple nice catches against the 49ers and really for the last couple games before that, but they have needed more from the tight end spot. So I do think having Kincaid back now would go a long way, just kind of building towards, you know, the playoffs and having just another weapon for Josh Allen. Keon Coleman's another interesting one, but Mac Hollins has played well. So they're going to have to find somebody to take off the field. I assume it's a lot of Curtis Samuel comes off the field and they just, you know, go with Keon and Dalton and Mac.
Jalen Virgil would become inactive, I guess.
Yeah, I also think there's a chance that they just cut him and then just try and get him on the practice squad,
especially if you return somebody from the IR. And by the way, Tylon Grable, he's in his third week here. He's got to be activated at some point sooner. I got to do the math on it. But Tylon Grable, if you're going to activate him, which maybe they don't. If they don't, they shut him down for the rest of the year. Ryan Vandermark then is obviously your swing tackle the rest of the year. But he had beaten out Ryan Vandermark. That's an interesting roster decision they have to make.
I think they probably move Will Clapp at that point, if that's what they do. They probably put him back on the practice squad and activate Grable. That said, though, at this point in the season, maybe you roll with the guy who's got a bit more experience with Will Clapp and just treat this as more of like a redshirt year for Grable and just leave, you know, the line the way it's been for the last several weeks. I actually think that that might be the smarter play here as opposed to a guy coming off of an injury who doesn't have a ton of NFL experience.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Sean was also asked about Kyrie Elam being a healthy scratch. He had a couple really interesting responses I want to get to here. He said, everything's earned. We know exactly, you know, how he treats that. He said, we'll see when asked if Jamarcus Ingram would be Douglas's replacement if Douglas can't play. And then when he was asked to expand upon Kyrie in a way, he basically said, when he was asked, well, what is he not doing? He said, well, it could be a combination of him not earning it or others earning it more. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Kyrie Elam and his status right now on this team and playing? And what if Rasul doesn't play, where that leaves him?
I think they're going to still play Kyrie, even though that's a bit cryptic there. I still think that they...
You think Kyrie would play over Jamarcus Ingram?
I do. I don't. I think the last time they've had an injury to a corner, they used Elam. And I don't know how much has changed since then.
I think if I could stop you for a second, I think the reason for that was because Cam Lewis was filling in as the nickel.
No, it would have been after Taren came right? back. No, I don't
after
think so.
After who came back?
I believe Taren. Because I believe they missed Benford in the game against the Dolphins, and okay. Taren came back against the Jets a few weeks okay. prior. I think.
So this is a good debate and question, because here's the issue, and this is where it might lean towards what you're saying, and I wouldn't doubt it. It could happen. It might be Kyrie because of this. I think part of the reason Kyrie doesn't get a game day jersey is they don't love him on special teams. Mm-hmm. That last corner has to play special teams.
Yeah.
That could be Jamarcus over Kyrie Elam. Now, that would hurt Jamarcus Ingram. Like, wait a minute. If I'm the better corner, I should be playing. So just because I would be playing special teams better. So I think that's really interesting how all that could go. Oh, I think I lost Matt. All right. So maybe we can put me in a one box here. Anyway, we'll try and hook back up with Matt here. I think I just lost him. If you're on the video side of things, thank you. It's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio here with you. And you can always subscribe to us at Sal Sports on YouTube. At Sal Sports on all the social platforms as well, but of course at Matt_Bove. If you want to subscribe to the show, it's always game day in Buffalo. Obviously, wherever you podcast, we are available there, whether that's on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere else, and of course on the Odyssey app. In the meantime, I wonder if I'm trying to do this with Matt. Did he have to leave? Let's see. Matt said he's basically just frozen and shut down. All right. Let me just wrap everything up here. All right. So we'll do that here. Sorry, everybody. We'll do this in real time. I'm down here at One Bills Drive. Matt is at his place at home as, he has a sick child. So I will wrap up by saying this. If Rasul Douglas cannot go, I do find it interesting. I'm going to go with, I think they would play Jamarcus Ingram at the other corner opposite Christian Benford. Matt says he thinks it's Kyrie Elam. To me, Jamarcus Ingram's kind of earned that spot. He's been the guy that you've been a little bit more relying on to play, but Matt brings up a good point. Kyrie Elam was the guy that went in earlier in the year. I do want to go back and look at what happened as far as injuries were concerned. And maybe that was a part of it because Ingram had to play a little bit more of the dime safety even nickel corner when Taren Johnson was hurt, but we'll have to get, all of that sorted out. Hopefully, Rasul Douglas is available to play on Sunday for the Buffalo Bills, although it was not a spectacular game for him on last Sunday. We all know that. So we'll see. As far as the Lions are concerned, they have a lot of injuries as well. The Lions are a very banged up team. I think they lead the league in number of guys on injured reserve. And on top of that, they have a bunch of guys that have not played last week. Remember, they have 10 days to get ready for this one, get healthy after their Green Bay Thursday night game last week. So they're trying to get healthy. I know that Dan Campbell said a few of the guys are getting closer. Maybe Taylor Decker's getting a little bit closer. They're banged up in the D-line. They might be a little bit healthier than they have been, but that's not saying a lot because they're pretty banged up. So this is a Lions team that, despite all those injuries, are still playing incredible football. They're number one in the NFL in points scored. The Bills are number two. They're the only two teams in the entire NFL that are averaging over 30 points per game. The Lions are also, I think, sixth in the league in points allowed, something like that. But, I mean, they're just having a massive season. This is obviously huge, huge test for the Bills. It's a 4:25 p.m. game on Sunday. CBS national game, just like last week against the Rams. CBS is bringing their entire crew to Detroit, just like they brought their entire crew to Buffalo before the Kansas City Chiefs game. So nationally, this game is going to resonate. Finally, two quick items for you. Josh Allen, 6 touchdowns total, 3 passing, 3 rushing. Does not get named AFC Offensive Player of the Week, but we all knew that that was going to be the case, right? Because the only players that get the player of the week, this really puts the nail in what I've been saying all along and telling everybody, which is you got to win a game. Whether it's right or wrong, we can debate that. The NFL does not give offensive or defensive or special teams players of the week to losing teams. They just don't. Because if ever a week Josh Allen deserved it, it's when he went over 400 yards and set an NFL record with 6 total touchdowns in a regular season game. So he didn't get it. That award went to Ja'Marr Chase, who was spectacular, obviously, on Monday night for the Cincinnati Bengals as well. But Josh does not get AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And you could argue maybe he didn't deserve it last week when he got it against San Francisco outside of that, incredible play that he made. But he didn't win it here. All right. The other final bit of news that we have to get to real quick. The Bills have announced minority ownership partnership is how it's described. Let me get to that real quick. I'll tell you exactly what it is. Limited partnership. It says, here's the release they put out. We're proud. This is the tweet they put out. We're proud to confirm the addition of 10 limited partners to our ownership group for the first time in franchise history. Welcome to the family. And part of that ownership group and the names, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and soccer superstar Jozy Altidore. If you remember, all three of them were in Buffalo in Orchard Park for the Monday night game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in week three. Well, now we kind of know a big reason why that is. Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and Jozy Altidore, part of the new Buffalo Bills limited partnership, as that was approved today by NFL owners, along with Eagles limited partners and Miami Dolphins limited partners. New rules now are allowing this to happen in a different kind of financial way than ever has happened before. You can go read about a lot of that stuff. What does it mean to be a limited partner? Well, basically means it's an investment. It's just like an investment in any other business. You put money in, you're investing in, you're part of the investment group, the ownership group, but you have no say in anything. Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, Jozy Altidore, or anybody else, they're not making decisions on hirings and firings. They're not going to owners meetings and voting on things. That is all still Terry Pegula. But what they do is put their money in, and obviously they get return on investment as far as money is concerned. I guess I'm just going to be some perks along the way, maybe some suites. You'll see them at the games and things like that. Along with Mike Jew, Tom Berger, Rob Palumbo, Teresa Gao. I hope I'm saying her name right. I apologize if not. Sue McCollum and Rob Ward. You can find all of that information at BuffaloBills.com and elsewhere. Matt will have more at WKBW and WKBW.com. I'll have more at WGR550.com. Also on our news side at Odyssey, WBEN, News Radio 930. We'll be covering all of this, but the Bills do have new limited partners. Okay, I'm headed out to talk to some players, including, by the way, Jamarcus Ingram today. I'm going to talk with him. Jamarcus, just talking about him playing on the field. How about what he's doing off the field? Just got to give some love out there for Jamarcus Ingram, Bills DB. He wrote a children's book. So, Matt is actually here. I was finishing the episode without you, but that's okay. I didn't have to do that.
Dude, what the heck was that?
I don't know.
I just, all of a sudden, my computer shut down.
They didn't like what you said about somebody, obviously.
I don't
know.
You
heard about those drones in New Jersey? They're coming for Niagara Falls.
I don't know. All of a sudden, we're having a lovely conversation, and the laptop just shuts down. And I'm like, I have no clue what is going on right now. So I frantically text you and Mike, and then the laptop takes like 10 minutes to restart. So thank you for holding down the fort for the last several minutes.
Let me just tell you what I went over real quick. Josh does not get AFC Offensive Player of the Week. That's just further confirmation. You have to win the game. It's not ridiculous. He put up ridiculous numbers, but it doesn't matter. You got to win the game. That's why it happens. We can debate that forever, but he did not win AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And I just went through the 10 new limited partners of the Bills. I explained what that means.
Sure.
You're putting money up front. It's an investment. They're putting money in. It's an investment. They get return investment. They do not make any decisions with the Bills. They're not going to owners meetings. They're not hiring or firing anybody. And of course, the names that we all recognize, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and Jozy Altidore. And then I was wrapping up, Matt, you could touch on any of this if you want real quick, with Jamarcus Ingram. Just wrote a new children's book.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah,
cool, very cool. Jamarcus Ingram. And I'm going to talk with him a little bit today about that. And it's actually available now. So you can go out and you can find it, Jamarcus Ingram's children's book. So it's pretty cool. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you that's a good list of topics that you touched on. The partners that the Bills announced today of the 10, I believe like three or four of them have Western New York connections, or either from here or were raised here, which is really, really cool. Obviously, the big names are Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter and then Jozy Altidore, but I definitely want to try and connect with some of the owners that are from the area. A couple different people tweeted at me and said, hey, they've got interesting stories. So we'll try and connect with them down the road when we don't have like a massive game to get ready for. One note that I did want to let you know before I got booted off my laptop. So the Bills are wearing their white jerseys this week. I always post the jerseys, but the Lions are wearing their black jerseys, which is a super cool look. So I think it's going to be a really cool jersey matchup. It's like the hoodie that you've got on. It's the black with the like blue helmet, that like baby blue Detroit helmet. Right. And then the black Lions logo on it. So I would imagine I don't know what color pants they'll wear. White on white seems to make the most sense, but a clean jersey matchup. And I mean, obviously a huge game. So this will be a really fun one.
No doubt. Thanks a lot to Mike Rabier, our producer. Matt, I hope Ilya feels better.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a pain in the butt the last couple of days. My wife was a rock star while I was in Los Angeles, and she was. You ever heard of croup? You ever heard of? Did Max ever have croup?
I don't think so. Maybe
it's like something called croup and Strider. It's like a coughing, like mucusy thing, and it just makes it really tough. And with babies, everything is tricky. So yeah, we're I've been daddy and Elia duty for the last couple of days, trying to be Mr. Mom here.
Well, listen, you go take care of your child, obviously, and we'll talk again a little bit later in the week. Get everybody ready for Bills Lions 4:25 p.m. game. Thanks a lot once again for downloading, subscribing, and hey, quit messing with Matt's computer over there.
Yeah.